Welcome into a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am chatting with Chris Temple, founder and editor of The National Investor. And Chris, I want to ask you about a balance between data that we saw this morning. First, with the ISM numbers, the manufacturing number that was weak. It fell to 54.1. This is from 55.3, and that was about 3.5 points below expectations. So obviously negative for the U.S. equity markets and just the U.S. economy overall. But then on the flip side, we saw very good job numbers. The ADP job number was higher than expected. However, this doesn't seem to be helping the market at all. So where's the balance here? Why so much emphasis being put on that ISM number?
Well, the markets in the recent past have figured out at long last that the U.S. market could not continue to do well and set new highs while the rest of the world was going the other direction, some of them more than others. And so in the recent past, we've seen U.S. stocks catch up to the downside. And the larger focus on that ISM number that came out and jolted some people was basically, Corey, because of the same fear now that the broader economy in the U.S. is going to catch what the rest of the world has, and we're going to see growth decelerate markedly here. And that's, you know, that can happen even against a backdrop where employment numbers remain fairly good. Don't forget that a lot of the low unemployment rate in the U.S. is as much about demographics as it is economics. And in and of itself, the fact that you've got a sub 4% unemployment rate, but still with wage growth that is, you know, somewhere between anemic and modest at best, that in and of itself does not tell you you've got a robust economy, nor will it lead to a robust economy. Fortunately, the Fed seems to be figuring that out along with everything else.
Okay, so Chris, where does that leave traders now? Because you even mentioned to me off mic that you're seeing a lot of sectors actually doing quite well. But if you look at the broad averages, we're seeing the Dow down almost 600 points, the S&P also down, and NASDAQ.
This has been an astonishing day in some respects, Corey. First of all, if you go back to the announcement after the close yesterday of Apple, that was a bombshell. But for a few reasons, I would have expected to see way worse when the market opened up this morning than that. But the damage was confined more to Apple and some of its immediate suppliers and so forth. And it didn't have as broad an effect right away on a broader market as I would have expected to see. And in fact, all day long, and even after the next leg down we got for stocks after the ISM number, I'm looking at a number of portfolios that I track of different kinds of stocks, and the broad market and value stocks are actually doing extremely well today, despite this. So this I like because it's the kind of thing that I've wanted to see happen all along. Everybody has figured out belatedly that Apple should never have had the valuation that it did in the first place. It's not a technology company. It's a consumer products company. And investors, you know, got spoiled with the Fed put and all of this free money that the Fed put out for all that time. They could put it all of this passive money goes into the FANG stocks, including Apple, drove the valuations higher than they had any reason to be at fundamentally. And now it's coming back down to where Apple is almost a buy fundamentally. You know, it gets down another $15, $20. I'll recommend a dang thing. But we need to understand what other people are belatedly waking up to, and that is that Apple should be looked at no differently than a Carrier or a Whirlpool or any other maker of consumer products and appliances, because by and large, that's what they are predominantly. And they were priced way too long as an innovative tech company. Furthermore, part of the problem for Apple is that they got a little bit too smug thinking that they can force expensive continued upgrades of phones on emerging market countries and including China. We can argue about whether China should be defined as an emerging market country or not, but they pushed too hard. They went for too much, and now it's coming back to bite them. Now they've realized they can't do that. And so I think with a lot of good value stocks doing well today, even a rebound in energy stocks that's holding its own so far, It tells you that investors are realizing, okay, we sell what's expensive, Apple, we buy what's cheap, energy, value stocks, some cyclicals, whatever.
So does this still have to do with the fact that there's a lot of liquidity still in the market, even though we're seeing, again, broad averages down? Money isn't just exiting and going only into, let's say, the safety assets?
Well, there is some of that, Corey, which is healthy, but I'll tell you what, yesterday, and I said this in the issue I sent out this morning, I said it in a couple of posts last night, it was very sobering to see what happened in the aftermath of Apple's announcement last night, because you had basically a flash crash in the currency markets, mostly the Australian dollar. I didn't look as closely at it. I think the loonie and other things got hit as well, because as soon as that Apple news came out and underscored the fact that I've been saying all along, contrary to these yahoos out there saying China's going to get its way, they're going to have a new current world currency, they're going to dump the dollar and all this stuff. China's on the edge of a cliff, and it's a long way down until you hear splat. And that got underscored with Apple's news last night and how weak the Chinese economy really is. And when in the immediate aftermath of that, Corey, and this is the takeaway, folks, today, when in the immediate aftermath of that, you saw the Japanese yen, which had only just broken the $1.10, go all the way to $1.05. That is a gargantuan move for a currency. All-time low, I think it was, actually, for the Australian dollar against the yen. Part of the consequence of that, if you're in Australia, you're going to be happy owning gold this morning, because gold just hit a record high in the Aussie dollar as a result. So, yes, there's some liquidity, but you had a shot fired across the bow last night with this Russian to yen and everything else getting hit, is what could come if we don't quickly see some relief where China's concerned. China is the clear and present danger today, and it won't take much longer, and it won't take much more to drag the entire world down into a new deflationary vortex. So keep that in mind. And if, you know, those people out there that say that somebody's going to dump the dollar, wait and see if we get more fear in the markets and see the dollar do exactly what the Japanese yen did last night, and then everything is in trouble.
So, Chris, regarding China, something you and I have talked about, and something that we've related to this continued drop in base metals, which we're seeing again today. As you said, though, this higher volatility in currency markets, a flash crash that we saw overnight. What happens if we start to see much more volatile currency markets as well, to top it off with the volatile U.S. stock markets?
You get a repeat of 2008 in at least some form. That's the next step. If things don't stabilize, and more important, Corey, if you don't see some signs of better news on the policy front, whether out of the Fed or out of Washington/China. Now, we're going to hear from Chairman Powell tomorrow. This is on the back of Dallas Fed President Kaplan today, which helped the market for a little while earlier, saying that he is all for a pause in rate hikes, and even open to slowing the roll off from their balance sheet. This is what the markets want to hear, because right now, when you look at the plunge in bond yields, we're back to negative for Japanese bonds again, negative interest rates. When you look at the yen spiking, the dollar staying high, despite the signal that the Fed has given you that they're about to complete basically a 180 on their outlook. When you see gold moving higher, yet most other industrial metals moving lower, you're on the edge of a new deflationary implosion. And so you've got to see something that's going to change that. Powell will probably give us some more help tomorrow. He will confirm what John Williams said a couple of days after Powell's press conference, which I think people misunderstood as much as anything, because if seeing what is in front of the Fed right now, there is zero question now that they are going to pause their rate hikes, and if things get any worse, they will also announce that they're going to change their balance sheet roll-off. So that's off the table for all practical purposes, and I think Powell will confirm that tomorrow, that the Fed, if it hasn't done so much damage already that we're already screwed, that they're not going to do any more, at least right now. The next thing, of course, is the U.S.-China trade talks. And we don't have very much time left for a breakthrough there before a crisis in China drags everybody down with them.
In all fairness, though, Chris, it sounds like with the Fed backing off and even other central banks backing off, it does all come down to this trade war that's ongoing that doesn't seem to be making any progress.
Well, I won't say it's not making any progress. Of course, neither one of us is a fly on a wall, either in President Xi's office or President Trump's office. The important thing is that there seems to be some sense among some that the price is getting too high for China, but even for the U.S. I mean, President Trump has been right all along, morally, in what he has been trying to do to get China to play fair. Sometimes he doesn't understand what he's doing, but especially on these issues like forced technology transfers, cyber hacking, and all the rest of this stuff, theft of intellectual property, the whole world wants to see China do something. And I'll say it again, the scenario you want to look for, which I think is realistic and will allow everybody involved to say we got something, is to settle the tariff and merchandise trade issues now, get that done, get that off the table. And I don't think the parties are very far from that. Look at, you know, China's importing rice for the first time. They're importing soybeans again. They have dropped their own tariffs on imported items, manufactured goods from the United States. So that's all good stuff. But the president has been correct in wanting to also make sure that there is some broader work done on these other issues, which we've got a lot of support from a lot of other countries that have had the same gripes for years. And what I think that we're going to see, and this will help the markets a lot, near term at least, is that they will punt those other issues to the World Trade Organization, and everyone's going to promise that under the auspices of the World Trade Organization, we'll roll up our sleeves and we'll get China on board with being a good neighbor on these other issues like technology and so forth down the road. That, I think, is what everybody is working toward. The president still has some people around him that don't want that, that they want to go to the mat now. Even at the cost, Corey, of causing a recession and a larger stock market debacle, they want to knock China down a few pegs now, not put it off and let the World Trade Organization handle it. And that continues to be the most important thing to watch, is that if President Trump and Xi were together in a room by themselves and had nobody that they had to answer to and did this all on their own, we'd already have a deal. But that's not the reality of the situation, and it's going to be really interesting, and it's going to be the biggest impactor of markets, good or bad, this year, if the hardliners around Trump get their way and push all of us over the cliff. Because if China goes, we all go with it.
All right. There you have it from Chris Temple. And Chris, I do agree with you. It's a lot about China right now, but it's very interesting to see how money is very much becoming actively managed in the U.S. And hey, that can be very much a good thing, but we all need to be aware of the potential of another 2008. Chris, good chatting with you. Thanks for your time today.